Minerva's Gambit, written and narrated by D. Allen Gilman. Prologue. He who passes not his days in the realm of dreams is a slave of days. Cathal Gibran, Paklencia National Park, Croatia, March 20, 2025. AI, call Carl. Alexei Novak ordered the car. It didn't respond. Damn, thing's out again. As he barreled down the rain-pummeled country road, the frantic pace of his car's windshield wipers automatically slowed with the slackening of rain. He could now ease back in the driver's seat and concentrate on his next move. Grabbing his phone, he thumb-tapped the contact. Carl picked up right away. Hey, boss, we get it? Yeah, deal's done. Alexei noticed the call location finder was blocked. It was only 4 p.m. So, morning deliveries are prepped already? Sure, I didn't lock up, though. Burrow was still wrapping the Empire Foods order. Good. You seeing Ruth tonight? It was a delicate matter. She was upset with her husband's work hours and used some unintended words. Last night she had stayed at Alexei's sister's house and he caught some of the flack. Yeah, but I promised her you'd put more men on with the seed money you're getting. That's still a thing, right? No question. Alexei checked himself in the rearview mirror. Well, it should work. How's things with Naida? Carl asked, eager to change the topic. You still thinking about popping the question? Alexei laughed at this. Yeah, I don't know which to ask first, though. Whether she'll marry me or take the new job offer. Don't want to send the wrong message. Can't fault you there. She's a tough one. Remember how she handled the crew? She took their shit and shoveled it right back. I think it's a great move, giving her to shop control while you start the next. Who knows? She might just quit her other job. So, how'd the doctor thing go? As we thought, it's asthma. Doctor just confirmed the diagnosis. Alexei had been to the local clinic on a follow-up visit earlier in the day. Although he'd always been physically fit, it had been years since that mysterious stomach ailment almost killed him. Now in excellent shape, his lungs apparently were not. A few moments passed. What about your brother? You still thinking about using him? He's my next call. Alexei did not want to deal with this right now. Well, I know you've been helping his family and all, but he's not been very dependable. Yeah, I know. Well, I'll let you go. Thanks for all the hard work. It's an old problem, Alexei thought. Alcoholism takes parenting issues and passes them on like some kind of genetic marker. Only way to break the chain is to expose it for what it is, and maybe no one want to wear it. AI, call Picard. It didn't. Damn this stupid thing. Irritated, he picked up his phone from the centerboard console and thumbed the contact. It rang five times before being answered by his brother's wife, Cheryl, who was half listening to his call. He could hear someone caterwauling in the background, courtesy of her addiction to the American television network. Yeah, he looked at your lungs and the prognosis was not good? Yes, apparently from all the years of inhaling flower dust, I've developed a form of occupational asthma, ironically known as baker's lung. Although it's not fatal in itself, the doctor told me I had to give up working with flour in the bakery, which is not such a terrible thing. You what? Alexei smiled to himself. Well, that got her attention. Knowing her penchant for aggrandizement, it'll be all over the town by tomorrow and Sky News will probably have it as their lead story. Yes, Cheryl, I need to talk with Picard as soon as he gets back, and could you please try to keep this to yourself? Picard, which meant baker, was a derisive nickname for his older brother, Pitar, who was lousy at begging. That's why he was primarily working the dairy farm when he was sober and with his wife, and she wasn't in front of the TV. At least their kids are shaping up nicely. Okay, Pitar just stepped out to get some more slivovitz. He should be back any second now. Just have him call me. Alexei hung up and shook his head. Getting into the bottle again, like father like son. Refusing to allow this to dampen his mood, he was excited about the prospect of no longer working in the bakery's back room. A potentially tough transition, now that he would no longer manage hands-on. With this new seed money, I can now dedicate more time to marketing. That's where the real money is. Absent-mindedly, he tried to set the phone down but missed, causing the phone to slip between the seat and the console. It was difficult to reach, and his fingers only managed to push it farther away. As if on cue, it began to ring with Picard's ringtone, the theme to the Green Acres sitcom. He spread his fingers to grasp it, but failed to grasp the phone's slippery screen face. Scrungy! Bending forward to reach it from the front of the seat, he accidentally pulled the steering wheel to the left, catching the roadside with the front tire. With no gravel shoulder and the grass slick from rain, the car began to dovetail. He tried to steer in the direction of the skid, but with the phone in one hand, he was unable to quickly react. He overcompensated and the car's tail swung back hard, skidding sideways towards a stone bridge wall. In his mind's eye, he watched with distracted interest as the wall approached in slow motion. Then it was coming through the door, showering him with glass as a sudden stop killed him instantly. Strangely enough, the phone kept repeating in his mind that silly dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. His perspective rose above the car as he floated slowly down the road. Such a beautiful color, he thought, soaring over his smashed car. Another vehicle decelerated as it approached the wreck, and that silly ringtone thankfully faded. The fact that he was somehow flying without any means of control did not bother him, nor did he really care where he was going. Like smoke on the wind, his perspective began to pick up speed. Trees flew by as he soared above the forest landscape towards the Dinaric Alps. They keep forgetting to turn off the convection fan at the shop, he thought as he approached an old stone garage set off the road in Plaklencia's National Park. I hope that idiot Boro remembers it this time. Oddly enough, the sky grew lighter as the sun settled below the storm clouds ahead of him. He didn't feel the rain, but it did seem to be growing much colder. As he approached fenced-in buildings set on a slope, he could make out the structures in exacting detail. Suddenly, he was pulled down through the dilapidated roof of an old garage where a great abyss opened, drawing him inside it. Then, an intense swirling light appeared from a great distance and many voices called out, ethereal, soothing, urging him to join them. An overwhelming presence seemed to fill his being, distracting him from the bright light. Its immense face was vaguely familiar, though he had never seen it before. While shimmering from one familiar likeness into another, it reminded him of many people. When the image finally came into focus, it was like an old portrait he had once seen of the soul stealer, dressed as a medieval peasant, wearing a large straw hat in an open one-horse cart. The image was benign. It held no aspiration. Its countenance was at once soft and inviting, needful and wanting. He wanted him to join it, to somehow align himself with it. Alexei recoiled in revulsion at this display of wanton neediness, this fake show of weakness, this charade. When it sensed his disgust, the countenance became hauntingly scornful. But Alexei could not detect any danger, only contempt. As he continued to reject it, its superciliousness magnified until it no longer cared about him. And at that instant, he was cast out, universally insignificant, scattered like ash in a storm. He entered a vortex of light and sound that blurred sanity. Suffocating and feeling panic, his illusionary lungs pumped to no effect. Then, as the disorientation slowed, the universe turned around him, dark and frigid. Disconnected, he felt a vast, empty, unbearable loneliness engulf him. There was no one. He could sense no presence of any kind. It was as though the background noise of life's presence had suddenly become deafeningly silent. Terrified, lost, and alone, he cried out in soundless, pitiful screams at nothing. Nothing around him cared. His desperate pleas held no audience. As great despair began to smother him, he grew ever colder. End of prologue.